I look forward to many of you coming to our house tomorrow and the following weeks for our get-together and studying heroes of the faith, both from the Bible and more currently. And why do we call them heroes? Well, we'll discuss that. One of the heroes of the faith is certainly the Apostle Paul. And he wrote to the church in Ephesus in Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. He talks about the armor of God. And after writing on all these different subjects, he says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all of the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should."
Well done.
I need my bulletin so I can take notes.
Okay. Again, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you're present. We thank you that you will give us understanding and that we can receive. So, Father, we simply ask that you would give us clarity now in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Do you ever wonder how to behave? You ever wonder how you ought to act? You ever wonder when you're in a certain situation what your responsibility is, how you ought to function, what you ought to be like? Are you supposed to be meek and quiet? Are you supposed to be loud and aggressive? Are you supposed to be condemning, compassionate? Are you supposed to be prophetic? I'm not quite sure what that looks like in 2015. But when I read this, I get the idea I know what I'm supposed to do. I know what I'm supposed to be like. I know how I'm supposed to behave. Paul's telling me, as somebody who belongs to Jesus Christ and somebody who is part of his family, my job is to stand. My task is to stand. To stand in, through, and for Jesus Christ. To stand by the power and for the cause of the gospel. I am not to stand for a cause, I am not to stand for a party, but I am here for the kingdom of God. I am to stand for Jesus in the midst of opposition that sometimes is angry and sometimes is lying. I am to stand against those who do not understand and those who disagree. My task is to stand. And I do not stand alone. I stand with all who follow and who love and live in Christ. We stand, you and I. We stand for the gospel. What does it mean to stand? It means to be stable. It means to be consistent. It means to endure. It means to be here and wherever you find yourself and not back up, not run away. We will endure and steadfastly proclaim the gospel for Jesus Christ. We share the work of Christ. We do the work of the kingdom. We are not shouting in anger, but clearly speaking in grace. We are offering forgiveness, delivering hope, and sharing the love of God. Here we stand, and we can't do anything else. If there has been one unifying theme to the letter that Paul has given to the Ephesus church, it is that life in Christ is a privilege. It is a gift that you and I have been given, and one of the things that you and I are called to do is to live a life that is worthy of the gift that you and I have been given. That we are to live up to the expectations that God may have for us. And in this concluding section, Paul wants to make sure that we understand that message. He wants us to understand that it's going to take some effort. He wants us to understand that there is going to be opposition. And so he wants to move us to action. The one thing the Christian life is not is passive. It is very active. It is very active. And there are some themes that Paul has used again, and he will revisit them now in this packed section. He is going to talk about power. He's going to talk about the schemes of evil. He's going to talk about the devil, evil spiritual forces. He's going to talk about the day of evil. He's going to talk about truth, righteousness, peace, the gospel, faith, the spirit, prayer, saints, boldness, and he'll talk about mystery. And he starts with an imperative. If you've been in school and you took English, you know that imperative is instruction, a command. My mother was good at giving imperatives. Do this, go there, clean that. It was very, no ambiguity. I knew what I was supposed to do. Each Saturday, the imperative was change the sheets, clean the house, do the yard. There were some very clear imperatives. I am sure that there are imperatives you have met along the way. You have imperatives at work. You have imperatives everywhere. Here in the gospel, the imperatives come across. There are three of them. Be strong. Put on the armor of God. Stand. Verse number 10. Verse number 11. Verse number 14. But the one command is covering everything. Be strong in the Lord. And everything else is a description of what that looks like. That would be the heading. In conclusion, finally, in addition to all of this, summing up everything, I want you to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. You and I are called to have the strength of God residing in our lives. And that's easy to say, not as easy to do. This is not bootstrap theology. This is not something you do on your own. The idea of being strong in the Lord is something that is given to you and done through you. It's not instantaneous. It involves having a constant, ongoing relationship where you draw strength from God. He is not asking you to buff up. He is not asking you to do exercises on your own. He is asking you to open yourself and allow his strength to flow into you. We serve a God who has no limits. Chapter 1, verse 37, I think it is, of the book of Luke. For nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. I require knowing Jesus and knowing God and letting his strength flow into me. I draw close to him and his mighty power. We have the limitless power of God. And how I draw strength from God is I put on his full armor. We access this by putting on the very armor of God. This is not unlike the command in Colossians that you and I would put on the clothing of compassion, of kindness, and humility. We are putting on the characteristics, the nature, and the gifts of God in a very real way. When I put on the full armor of God, I put on him. I put on God himself. I am an imitator of God, and we will do this together. It is so easy for us to think that this was written only to each one of us, not us together. Paul never wrote to an individual thinking that it was going to stop there. If he wrote to Timothy or Titus or Philemon, it reverberated throughout the entire church. When he wrote to the Galatians, and he wrote to the Ephesians, and he wrote to the Philippians, he wrote to a group of people. You see, Paul didn't think of Christians as being little marbles in a bag. He thought of us as being one unit, that we all together become the body of Christ. We together will put on the armor of God. He is thinking of them as a collective, the body, the very body of Christ. You and I put on the armor of God in order that we can take a stand. We can stand against the devil's schemes. We can stand against to have the strength and ability and success in conflict and difficulty to hold the ground where we are against all the trickery, the fools, and all the other things that the devil can bring against us. We are not here against human opposition. We're against spiritual opposition. You and I stand against spiritual opposition. The schemes and the tricks of the evil one. And Paul says, you need to understand that our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Sometimes we like to personalize difficulties. We like to have a target. We want to somehow focus that this is the person. No, we're not fighting against flesh and blood. Jesus came to save flesh and blood, our enemies. And then he writes them. He's struggling against spiritual forces, against the rulers, against authorities, the powers of this dark world, and the spiritual forces in the heavenly realms. He's, by the way, not giving you a catalog. He's saying that you and I are struggling against what evil is, and evil is far more a spiritual reality than it is a physical reality. You see, in our culture, in our empirical, scientific, let's prove it, if you can't touch it, it's not real, we somehow poo-poo the spiritual. We somehow negate the idea that there is something out there that is beyond our five senses. We are dealing with dark spiritual forces. And these dark spiritual forces are a reality. They have authority, they have power, they are of the dark, and they are beyond simply the physical realm, but they're in the heavenly realms, like all of that. But what the Bible is also very clear about is this. We are not overwhelmed by these forces. We are not to be afraid of these forces. The Bible is very clear. Do not fear those who can kill the body. Fear God who can kill not only the body, but also the spirit and the soul. God makes it clear that in Jesus Christ we have victory. Do you realize that God will win? Do you realize it's not even a fair fight? You and I are on the winning team. Not because of who we are, but because of who Jesus Christ is. We are in the authority and the prayer of the presence of God. We need to be aware of what we are standing against, but we are not standing against someone who will win. We are standing against the losing side. We have to pay attention because these forces work against us. They will malign against us. They will try and take advantage when we're not paying attention. Evil is real. It is active in our world, but it will fail. In the kingdom of God, it will fail. So you and I are called to put on the armor of God, put on the nature, the character, the gifts, and the resources that God has, because you and I have been blessed, it says back in chapter 1, with every spiritual blessing under heaven. You and I are to put this on so that when the day of evil comes, when evil comes and strikes against us, it's not if, it's when. Could be today, tomorrow, next week. It's not in the far distant future. This is an imminent threat. When you stand against evil, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, you and I will stand our ground for the kingdom of God. We will obediently follow the call that God has given to us. We will have the power and the strength to accomplish what it is that God desires from each and every one of us. We will here stand. And after we have done everything, regardless what will happen, after we have accomplished all that God wants, we are to stand. Stand for the gospel. And the Bible is very clear. There's two things you need to know about the demonic. Evil is defeated. That's number one. Number two, pay attention. Temptation is tricky. Boy, isn't that the truth? Temptation is tricky. And do you know temptation comes and blindsides you? Are you aware of where you are primarily tempted? Are you aware of when that happens, of when it comes up? I'm aware of when I have. You know what it is? When I am stressed and in a hurry. That's when temptation comes. I can be such a snot. When I'm tired, or when I'm annoyed, or when I am not paying attention to God, I have the ability to fall on my face. Now, I'm not talking about huge things. I'm talking about little things that pile up. Be careful of temptation. Don't get caught by the schemes of the devil. Don't get caught by the temptation. After you have done everything, stand. And you and I will be off duty when we see Jesus face to face. But until then, that's what we're called to do. Isn't it amazing how often that word stand is used? It's like bang, 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 bang. First word in chapter verse 14, what is it? It's stand. Stand firm. There's that calling again. It's stand firm. Did you know the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 7, if you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. Stand firm and you will win, Jesus says. Jesus said, the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. Paul says, it is by faith that you and I will stand firm. Stand firm in the power of God. The image that Paul's going to use now is of a Roman soldier. The Roman soldier who is ready to go out and fight. And having Roman soldiers all over the Roman Empire, they knew exactly what they looked like. They knew what the helmet looked like. They knew what the shield looked like. They knew what the short sword looked like. They knew what it was to gird their loins. Logan, when's the last time you girded your loins? It sounds disgusting, doesn't it? Yeah, it's not what it is. What are you laughing at, Dan? Yeah. Yeah, we don't use that word, you know. That's exactly what it says. What I want you to do is I want you to gird your loins with the belt of truth. In other words, you know what he's saying? They ran around in longer robes. And if you're going to run, you got to tuck it in. That's to take the robe and tuck it in. What are you giggling at? You tuck it in your belt, the belt of truth, the truth of the gospel, the truth of God, the truth which is reliable, the truth which stands there so that you can maneuver. In other words, you get yourself ready. You make yourself appropriately prepared by the truth of peace, the truth wrapped around our waist, the gospel truth, the truth that God has given to each and every one of us. And then he says, I want you to put the breastplate of righteousness. It's kind of like, think about putting on the body armor. The body armor of God's righteousness. We've used that word righteousness in church for as long as I can remember. And I always want to come up to people and tell me, define it for me. And they all go, ask the pastor. Righteousness is living in the way that God expects. Righteousness is living in a way that God expects. It is, and we can't do it without him, but if I am in Christ, then I can live in his way. I do that which he considers to be right. I live according to his expectations. I do what he asks. And when I do that, that protects my chest. It protects my heart. It protects all of me. Doing that which is correct, behaving in the way that God has designed. It is God's protection of judgment. And then I have the right things on my feet. Isaiah 52:7, you know, the feet with the gospel of Christ fitted. Having the right stuff, the readiness that comes from the gospel of feet. Do you know how important shoes are? I did that wedding last week. I did a wedding and they came to the rehearsal. And these are all really very nice young ladies, but to a one of them, they're walking around in stiletto heels, 5-inch stiletto heels. I look at those things and I'm going, how in the world do you walk in those things? Can you imagine doing a 100-yard dash in stilettos? Can you imagine? I mean, I can see them walking in grass. Boom. They're going to be stuck. And they had to stand on stairs because they were kind of, you know how they stand for a wedding. And I'm thinking, you know, boop, they're going to fall over. And I'm thinking of all the things to wear. I mean, ladies, can I ask, who told you that was a good idea? That's right. Some man told you that was a good idea. Yeah. Well done, Dinah. Well done, Dinah. But I looked at that and I thought to myself, have you ever seen a shoe that was less suited for anything? Yeah, you know, if I'm going to go somewhere, I want to have, you know, boots on. I want to have something that's going to be able to use any kind of terrain. I want to have some kind of cross trainers where I can get it. I want to have something that is ready. I want to have everything. I want the gospel of peace that will make me appropriate and I can go anywhere and do anything with it. I want the gospel of Jesus Christ that brings me peace with God, in God, and from God. I want his shalom. And then I need the shield of faith, the faith that I have in Christ. That shield is 4 feet tall, 2.5 feet wide. It has leather all around it, and they would dunk it in water. And it would absorb water so that when the tar-covered arrows that were ignited hit that, they were extinguished. I want the faith that's going to cover me. And when a platoon or a squadron of soldiers came together, they could hook those shields together and they could not only be protected, but they could bulldoze their way through anything. And when I have that, I can get rid of any issue at all because my faith is in God. And then I take the helmet of salvation and I put it over myself and I put the sword of God's Spirit. The God Spirit, the very Word of God, which is sharper than any two-edged sword and can pierce to the center of the issue and the center of the heart. I have the full armor of God. I have His protection from beginning to end. Not that I may go out and vault myself against the evil, but I will simply take my stand here, and regardless of the opposition, when it comes, I will be able to do what I am supposed to do. We are in a conflict. We're not in a conflict with physical people. We're in a conflict with spiritual forces, and we now have the power to withstand and defeat those forces. You and I have the gospel of Christ, which can save anyone. And part of it is that we pray. We pray with all kinds of prayers and requests, and we keep on praying for all the Lord's people. We pray. Now, if you look in the NIV, it starts out a new paragraph, but what Paul is talking about is it's all from verse 14 to verse 20. It's all one sentence. Paul says prayer is as much a part of the armor as anything else. You and I pray. We are alert, engaged, and praying in the gospel and for the gospel. And we pray in the Spirit at all times through the very presence of God that was within us. And sometimes when we don't know what to say, the Spirit covers that. It is praying in confidence. It is praying in communion with God. It is a recognition that this is an ongoing, close conversation. And we bring everything to God. And we are paying attention to that which is around us. Are we good at paying attention? I don't think so. Bob in the back there, he wonders if we ever pay attention at all. Go up and talk to Bob today, Mr. Westlake. Pay close attention. You'll see what I'm talking about. And Paul says, I want you to pray for me. I want you to pray for me because when I speak, and I'll speak a lot, I want you to pray so that I can give the gospel of Jesus Christ that which it deserves. I will boldly proclaim the gospel because I am its ambassadors in chains. Pray that I may declare it boldly as I ought to. Timidity is not lacking in the church. I ask that you would pray for me, that when I talk to people, there would be a boldness, not an obnoxiousness, but no hesitation at all to speak of Jesus. Pray for those in this church, those in leadership. I pray for next Sunday. I pray that whenever you and I have the opportunity, we would not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. And you know, when I pray and you pray, and we have these things and we are wrapped up, do you know what we're going to be able to do? We're going to stand. We are going to take a stand for the gospel. We are going to take a stand for Jesus Christ. We will hold the ground. We will declare without hesitation and without timidity that there is one God in heaven and He gave us His Son, Jesus Christ, and that all who believe in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. We will have the power to do what we are told. We'll have the power to stand. Amen.